Part 20, Chapter 9. The little boy lay on the blood-stained ground, his head back and in the direction of the lower slope. Johnny had been certain he was dead. Nobody could take that many submachine gun slugs in the middle of his body, and a small body, and live. He felt awful. He knelt beside the torn boy. He was going to pick the body up, and he put his hand under the head and lifted it slightly. There was a light flutter of breath. Biddy's eyes trembled open. They were glazed in shock, but they saw Johnny, knew him. Biddy was moving his lips, a very faint whisper of a voice. Johnny bent closer to hear.
I wasn't a very good squire, was I? Sir Johnny.
Then tears began to roll sideways from the boy's eyes. Johnny reacted, incredulous. The child thought he had failed.
What?
Johnny tried to get it out, tried to speak. He couldn't make his voice work. He was trying to tell Biddy, no, 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 Biddy. You were a great squire. You have just saved my life. But he couldn't speak. The shock was wearing off in the boy. The numbness that had held back the pain vanished. Biddy's hand, which had risen to clutch Johnny's wrist, suddenly clenched bruisingly in a spasm of agony. The body did a wrenching twist. Biddy's head fell to the side. He was dead. No heartbeat. No breath. No pulse. Dead. Johnny sat there for a long time, crying. He hadn't been able to speak, to tell Biddy how wrong he was. He was not a bad squire, not Biddy. Never. After a while, Johnny picked the boy up in his arms and went down the hill. He laid the body very gently on the seat of the ground car. He went back and picked up the dead body of the Russian and carried it to the car and put it in. Windsplitter had seen him from a distance and came up, and the other horses, over their fright now, approached.